Turn with me to the 5th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And let us pray. Lord God, as we read your word today, as we hear the words of the Beatitude, we've sung them today and read them. Now write them upon our hearts and show us what they mean for our lives, the so what of hearing. For we want to live them out. We want to do your will. Become your disciples, your followers, and to obey everything you teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So yesterday was Chinese New Year. It is a Lunar New Year celebration. And I recently heard a comedian named Ronnie Chang talk about Lunar New Year, the Chinese New Year. And he said, "You think what we're saying to you when we say our greeting in Chinese is Happy New Year. But," he said, "what we're actually saying when we say Happy New Year in Chinese is, I hope you get rich." Maybe that should be the American New Year's greeting, is I hope you get rich. Well, this phrase that they're using in Chinese New Year is a little bit like this word blessing that is in Matthew 5. Because blessing means a lot of things to a lot of people, and a lot of things throughout scriptures. We often think of blessings as something that's being bestowed on someone, like Isaac's blessing to Jacob. That somehow Jacob stole the power, spirit, and wealth of Isaac from his brother Esau. Or when God blesses Abraham in the same book, Genesis, and says that he will be a blessing to the world, that his family will be a blessing to the world. Whoever blesses him, he will bless, and whoever curses him, God will curse. Curses being the opposite of a blessing. The word blessing bestows something upon its receiver and its hearer, even though nothing material is necessarily given. Another meaning for this in the Greek that is used in the New Testament is happy. We wish for people to be happy, to receive a way of feeling that will be positive in their lives. When I was a kid, we learned a song from Peanuts, from "You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown." You might have learned this song growing up too. The words that stick out in my mind are still there. Happiness is two kinds of what? Ice cream. Two kinds of ice cream. And happiness is finding a firefly. The song is not cruel though, and letting it go. As a child, being happy is a simple thing. The world for adults is more complicated. It often lacks happiness because we're not satisfied receiving the blessings of God to be happy with the simple things anymore. Blessings are meant to bestow happiness and joy and positivity and good wishes and good feelings from God. And when blessings come from Jesus, they are particularly meant for the Spirit and forever. They are the adult blessings of happiness. So the Beatitudes are a story of blessings and happiness bestowed. Today's two scriptures are two of the most important from all of the scriptures. If you could live and do them, these two would be very good. From Micah, we heard to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. This is a sermon in and unto itself. A prophetic call to God's people from the Lord to live out the core values of God. Justice, mercy, and relationship. Not sacrifices, but instead right living. The Lord begins His ministry with a similar sermon from Matthew, expounding on the same values from the Lord, justice, mercy, and walking with the Lord. It's almost 10% of the book of Matthew, and it begins with these soaring words of blessing. The blessings are not for the rich and powerful. The blessings are not for those who are strong or who have the right families. The blessings are for those who live the ways of God. Let's take a look at them. Let's write them on our hearts. For these are meant to show a way of living and a way to be happy to the world's in the face of the world's negativity. The first is poor in spirit. If you are poor in spirit, you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. In the Gospel of Luke and the Sermon on the Plain, it's just poor, not poor in spirit, but just poor. There are lots of ways to read Matthew and Luke on this. If you're poor and your spirit's down, that might be one way. If your spirit itself is just poor, all those are valid in some way. As we learned from our poverty course last year during Lent, poverty is not just about lack of money. Poverty is about many, many issues in our lives. So Jesus is reaching out to those who are in poverty, whether it is in their spirit or with food, with their material needs. And Jesus gives those people the kingdom. It's the blessing that they receive. That's why they are happy. The kingdom is for them. The end goal of history and salvation, the kingdom itself is for them. They may be denied everything else by this world, but Jesus has not forgotten them, and they will not be denied this gift. The second blessing that Jesus gives is for those who mourn. Sadness and sorrow seem permanent when they are in us, when the shade and shadow of darkness and loss and depression comes over us. God is always there. Everyone else may not understand what we're going through. They may not understand our loss. They may not be able to completely empathize with us or know what we're going through. They'll try to bargain our way out of it, and we can't see. But God does, and God knows. At that moment when you feel the most abandoned, when you feel the most alone, that's when the Lord is there the most. The Lord has known abandonment. The Lord was there on the cross and said those words, my God, why have you forsaken? Why have you abandoned me? The Lord knows. The Lord is there, and the Lord will comfort. The next one is the most misunderstood one of the list. Blessed are the meek. Many times I think this is translated in our minds as blessed are the doormats. Jesus is not talking about doormats. A better way to translate this word might be humble. Blessed are those who are humble. Now we can understand it a little better. Jesus is not praising doormats, but instead praising those who approach life with true humility, particularly towards God. The earth is for the humble, not for the proud. That's why they inherit the earth. The proud may seem to rule over the earth now, but the earth is really for those who are humble and meek. Meekness is what God values, not pride and power. Humility is what the human spirit is made for. Humility is the way to find the peace of this earth. To be at peace with what we have, what we are, what God has made us for, and what God is calling us to do. Next, Jesus says, happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What are you hungry for today? I know that's not exactly the best question to ask people at 11:15. The answer might simply be lunch. But we're hungry for many things in life. Money, resources, love. You can name the many things that human beings are hungry for. Jesus wants to show us that the true thing to be hungry for is righteousness. Right living. Right relationship with God. The opposite is wrong living and wrong relationship with God. If it's our true hunger, righteousness among humans may be an imperfect search. Something we work at our entire lives. But it is a definite search. Because relationships are complicated, injustices are done, and they must be made right between humans together. Being righteous is not just an internal self-value, but it is also a value for the community, among God's people, and among the way we behave with others in the world. Righteousness replaces the search for things in life that fade and replaces them with community and eternal things. Being truly filled in the Lord. This is the promise. To be hungry for the right thing and then to be filled with that thing. The next gift is reflexive. The next blessing is reflexive. Mercy for itself is a gift that is for itself and will be given back to us. The more mercy you show, the more mercy you will be given. In the world today, the word that goes around, it comes from the East. But people talk about karma, don't they? As though bad things that we do would come back to us somehow. Sometimes that value is reflected in the Old Testament as well. But this value is more important, that mercy, sending mercy out into the world to others, will come back to us tenfold. If we show mercy to others, there'll be more mercy out there, and more will come back to us. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. The more you give, the more you get. Blessed are the pure in heart. Oftentimes in Scripture, we're tempted to see the heart as the seat of the emotions, the seat of the way we feel towards others, but this is not the heart of Jesus' time or the Old Testament. Instead, the heart is the place of the will. We've got to line our will up with what God wants. Later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to give the Lord's Prayer on earth as it is in heaven. The will of the Lord reflected here as it is already perfectly every day in heaven. Our hearts can reflect the will of the Lord. It's about how we see God and how we see what God wants to do in this world. Be pure in heart. And allow God to make you pure in heart. For this is about God taking control of us. God giving us obedience. The most famous one is here. Blessed are the peacemakers. The word peace or shalom in the Scriptures is about the wholeness of the children of God. And the wholeness that they reflect to this world. Peace is not just a standstill of war. Not just an end to fighting. But peace is a situation of health and wholeness and goodness. Those who make peace are those who extend peace into the world. It is a community and communal action. It is one that is meant to bring people together and meant to bring them together around this common health and well-being. Be a peacemaker. Blessed are those who are persecuted. For me, this is the one that should speak the most to us about doing the others in this world, doing the other blessings of this world. If you are a peacemaker, oftentimes you're going to be mistreated. If you show mercy, you might be bitten back in exchange. If you are humble, others may not understand. There are many who are mistreated for doing justice, for doing the right thing. And Jesus is saying, this will be blessed as well. I think of Martin Luther King, whose birthday we celebrated this week, at his home. They had been doing the Montgomery bus boycott, and as negotiations went on and on, and as people began to get more and more angry with one another and violent, someone came to Dr. King's home and set a bomb, and the bomb went off at his house. Had the bomb gone a little bit differently, it could have killed him and his family, his kids. And so there was a meeting of, like an instantaneous meeting of community leaders and people out in the street in front of his home. And Dr. King had a choice. He could have gone out with all of those people there present and said, you know what? It's time to riot. It is time to get back at those who have done this. This is a step too far. But that's not what he said. Instead, the police were there at his home and he asked to speak. He began to speak to the people gathered there and explained to him just these words. When we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, getting back at others is not the plan of God, but instead to be peacemakers, to be those who seek justice. We first must take justice and realize that it is about forgiveness as well. That didn't mean that they let up on the boycott or let up on sitting wherever they wanted on the bus, but it meant that violence would not be the way that was achieved. Making peace to show justice, and following the way that God would want peace to be made. Jesus says here, be like the prophets, those who were called to prophetic action. We are called to prophetic action too. Sometimes it's definite action to help the poor, to help those in need, but sometimes it's symbolic action to show meaning to the world, to show meaning of these words of Scripture. But we're called to be like the prophets. The prophets were those who were willing to give up their very existence for what the Scriptures said. They had already done it in their hearts, and now they were called to do it sometimes with their lives. We can definitely do that with our very being. I've told the story before of the time that the Klan came to our town in southwest Georgia, Donelsonville. And so the local ministers, we had all decided to have a prayer service there at the courthouse. The courthouse on Saturday was going to be the day when the Klan came. We couldn't stop it. They had a constitutional right to be there, but so did we. And so we gathered all the community of faith, all the churches in town, black, white, everybody was there. And so each of us took a turn to pray, which I think we all should have listened to Jesus' words about prayer, that lots of words don't make prayers better. But as my colleagues, particularly those from other denominations, stood up to pray, they began to call down the power of the Spirit to defeat this action and to destroy the enemies of God. And boy, it was a lot of spiritual warfare going on the steps of the courthouse that day. And I had planned what I was going to do for my prayer. When it came time for my prayer, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read from the Beatitudes. And there had been a lot of amens coming from the crowd through all these prayers of defeating the devil. And I stood up and I began to read the Beatitudes. The first one, I got a amen. The second one, I got a amen. By the time I got to about the fifth Beatitude, I got a amen. Asking us to follow the words of Christ, to put ourselves on the line, and to put our being on the line. After we prayed, we walked around the courthouse with people that we didn't know before, and we said, we're going to do black and white, walk around the courthouse. So an older black gentleman walked beside me, and we began to share stories and get to know one another. And he said, you know, years ago, decades ago, the Klan killed my cousin, and nobody did anything about it. There was no justice for him. For those of us in the world, hearing these words of Jesus are calling us to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God today, to uncover the mask that evil has worn for centuries, and to say no more, that we're going to follow the ways of Jesus Christ in this world, to stop the evil that is around us by doing good, that evil will be replaced by good. I had a friend who said, you know, hatred is a much stronger power and force in this world than love. I said, that's where I disagree. It may seem stronger from time to time, but love is the most powerful force there is. The blessings of God and the Beatitudes reflect the love and power of God for this world. Because God's power comes in weakness. God's power comes in justice. Not justice perpetrated, but justice done. Mercy shown to those who need it. Blessed are you. Happy are you in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, hearing the sermons of Jesus, hearing the words of Jesus, may these words rock deeply into our hearts to disturb us and move us forward in His ways. For He is calling us on the prophetic way to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with You. The calling for us today is simple. The first steps may be harder, but teach us from thenceforth to walk in Your footsteps and to follow You in justice and mercy and truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.